Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. In this week's Enlighten Me, we visit the University of Delaware to highlight work from student journalists. Piece is produced by UD Communications students for a fall semester class taught by Lydia Timmons. We start with Erica Chang, who examines the impact of federal cuts on food safety in the United States.
After major federal workforce cuts this year and even more reductions proposed for the upcoming year, food safety oversight is shifting across the country. Recalls have been issued for a variety of reports ranging from shredded cheese contaminated with metal shards and baby formula linked with botulism. But behind those headlines lies a bigger story, a shrinking federal workplace responsible for catching these problems before the products hit the shelves. This past spring, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the agency that oversees the Food and Drug Administration, cut about 10,000 positions nationwide, including specialists involved in monitoring food safety. Shortly after, Reuters reported the FDA suspended several food safety quality checks due to a lack of staff to run them. This suspension raised red flags for food development professionals like Connie Gregson, VP of Research and Development at Happy Coffee. Gregson stated that testing food stability is incredibly sensitive.
With food products, our job is to make sure that the products are first and foremost safe to drink. So anything that has to sit on the shelf, we have to make sure that it's stable from a microbiology standpoint, so it's not going to spoil.
Gregson added that new recipes, packaging, and manufacturing are where mistakes most likely occur.
The most vulnerable time is if you're working on a new product, like a completely new base, and you haven't tested it. So if you don't understand the stability of that.
And when problems do happen, companies, not the government, are doing most of the work.
Recall is all voluntary. But the fact of the matter is that FDA, like, there are limited resources, so they don't really have ways to police recalls. So it falls on the industry or the company. And sometimes, like, if it's a smaller company, then they might not be making the right choices as far as, like, pulling things off the shelf because they don't want to lose money. They don't want to lose distribution. So it is risky not having, like, that policing mechanism.
With decreasing federal oversight, the administration has proposed additional FDA and HHS workforce cuts for 2026. College student Abby Bevan is among the concerned consumers.
I am concerned about the food recalls because I am a college student and I don't have, like, extra time to be looking at the recalls, like, on the news. I would like to be healthy, and the food recalls would not help that.
Beyond customers, workers in food service are also feeling the pressure. Cafe worker Sarah Hsu says that customer anxiety is already climbing.
And as customers, very often, our concerns regarding, like, where we're getting our ingredients from, and more complaints regarding that as well. And that could definitely cause more stress for me and my boss.
While it's too early to know what impacts the additional proposed cuts for next year might mean, less staffing, fewer inspections, and suspended lab checks raise questions of whether the system meant to prevent unsafe food from reaching the people is slowly being weakened.
Thanks to Erica Chang for her reporting. Next up is Rachel Santora and her piece on the growing interest in distance running and what's driving that interest.
If you scroll TikTok lately, it feels like everyone is suddenly training for a marathon or signing up for a triathlon or entering their so-called running era. But what's actually behind this new wave of long-distance racing? Across the country, race organizers are reporting record signups, especially among people in their late teens and 20s, and many say it all starts right here on social media, where daily run logs, race day vlogs, and motivational clips are inspiring beginners to lace up. I talked to Emma Robinson, who recently started training after seeing the trend online.
I've always worked out and been active, but I think social media definitely influenced me to start doing races like triathlons and marathons. I saw people my age getting to travel the world doing them, and I really wanted something to train for that would bring me places as well. But training for them has been such a good experience so far. It's great motivation. And I do definitely think that everyone should do one, even if it's small.
For a lot of young people, running isn't just about fitness. It becomes a lifestyle. There's the routine, the discipline, and the community that comes with race training. And for many, it's also a mental health boost during a time when stress, school, and social pressure feels constant. I also spoke with Grant Michaels, a seasoned triathlon competitor and a longtime CrossFit athlete. He's been training most of his life and lives an extremely disciplined, healthy lifestyle. He told me he sees both the positives in this new wave of endurance racing and the pressures it can create for beginners.
Do I think there's pressure to run because of social media? Yeah, I definitely think social media can put a lot of pressure on people in different ways, especially with how popular running has gotten in the past couple years with all the fitness influencers. But I think people only feel that pressure if they're not already satisfied with what their life looks like and the achievements. I think pressure is just your body telling you, you know, something has to change and it wants more for itself.
Experts say part of the appeal is accessibility. Why fall into an unhealthy lifestyle when most people have the full ability to do the right thing? They argue that taking care of your body doesn't require fancy equipment or a strict program, just consistency and the willingness to show up every day.
I've been influenced for so long to go out to the bars or go drink and do unhealthy things. Why not do the other thing and do something that's healthy for my body?
Whether people are searching for a challenge, a community, or just a new identity to step into, one thing is clear. Running culture is having a moment, and for many young adults, crossing that finish line, whether it's 13 miles, 26 miles, or an entire triathlon, this has become the newest badge of an accomplishment.
Thanks to Rachel Santor for her piece. And we close with Ellie Hintz, who explains how one local venue is putting the spotlight on UD student music acts.
On a Friday night at the University of Delaware, Deer Park Tavern has its usual glow, neon signs, crowded booths, and students packed around the tables. But in the last year, something new has been happening here. Live music, and especially student music, has exploded. And for Deer Park, that shift didn't happen by accident.
I like to have things that are rooted in Deer Park's history still be a part of Deer Park today here in 2025, and that's live music.
That's Morgan Minner, Director of Special Events, Marketing, and Social Media for Ashby Hospitality Group. She books all the live acts that come through Deer Park, and she's watched a trend grow faster than anyone expected.
Turns out students really love to see their peers on stage, whether it's DJ acts or bands. So I really found my niche with bringing in student-based music, and the kids really responded well to that.
And that's where Fools in the Sun comes in, a band made up entirely of UD students. For the past year, all six members have been playing at day parties in the backyard of fraternity houses. But for the first time, they got to step onto a real venue stage under real lights. Dylan No, the band's lead singer, talks about what it's like to perform for their peers.
It's just something fresh. It's something new. It's a lot more engaging than being at a party with a single live DJ. And although that's like obviously a skill set in of itself, it's less natural. It's a lot more artificial. And I think the students like seeing students that are their age that are showcasing their talents and putting work in to try to make people united and happy.
For Dylan and the rest of the band, playing in a venue like Deer Park isn't just exciting, it's a milestone. Morgan says it's the kind of experience that builds confidence for student bands.
Our show for Fools in the Sun on the 17th was the first time they've played in a venue, and not in a frat backyard or a basement.
Morgan keeps a close eye on the student music scene. She scouts bands online, follows them on social media, and tries to give them opportunities to perform at Deer Park.
They're all UD students, so I like to keep that pathway open for student-based bands, and that's how I got in contact with Fools in the Sun.
The audience shows up every time. Watching peers on stage brings a different kind of energy to the room.
They connect with it because these are their peers, and it is fun to see your friends up on stage and out on a marquee and with signage through the restaurant. Fools in the Sun loved that.
Looking to the future, Dylan shared what he hopes comes next for student music in Newark.
Hopefully, there will be other bands after us, after we leave the Newark area. Hopefully, students are inspired to start their own music and continue the live music genre here.
And that's what's happening with live music on campuses. I'm Ellie Hintz, and thank you for listening.
Thanks to Ellie Hintz, as well as fellow University of Delaware students Erica Chang and Rachel Santura, for enlightening us this week.